Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From newsounds.org, this is a remote, on-location edition of Soundcheck, our series of live performances and interviews. I'm John Schaefer, and I recorded today's show in Knoxville, Tennessee, at the annual Big Ears Festival, which brings together all kinds of new and unusual and experimental music. This year's festival included the Barcelona duo called Tarta Relena, who sing old traditional songs, both sacred and secular, and often perform them in an altered electronic environment. Often, but not always. And when singers Marta Torea and Elena Ross dropped by my hotel room in Knoxville, they did a couple of a cappella or unaccompanied songs. Although actually, if you listen closely, you'll hear them accompanied by the gale force winds that swept through the city that day. I started by asking Elena about Tarta Relena's origins. It sounds like, listening to the ensemble's work, that maybe the two of you began just singing a cappella together, sort of the way we're going to hear you today. Is that really, where did you meet?
Definitely. So you got the answer right. We met when we were 6 years old in primary school. But we hadn't explored our voices as such until we started a choir when we were 16 years old, I think. And Marta was already there, and she told me, "Why don't you join in?" This is where we started singing together. Mm-hmm. And then when we had the free time, when, you know, Friday afternoon, mm-hmm. Saturday, Sundays, things like this, then we wanted to try out some of the stuff that we were singing in the choir, but then some other songs that we liked.
So, Marta, when you and Elena started in choir, were you singing a lot of sacred music? Because you've recorded a lot of centuries worth of sacred music from many different places.
Yeah, we sang a lot of sacred music, yeah. Also a lot of dances and pagan music also. But there's when we engage with the spirituality in this music, even though we were not super Christian at all, but we felt in our bodies singing this music how to connect with some spirituality, and this was amazing. Yeah.
There's a singer actually here at the Big Ears Festival named Eliza Bagg. She's part of this vocal octet called Room Full of Teeth, and they do a lot of contemporary music. But she was saying, in one of these sessions that we did a couple of months ago, that singing Hildegard von Bingen with just two other women's voices, was such a physical experience.
Yeah, this is intense and funny. And what is funny, singing Hildegard von Bingen, we have a super funny experience, that is that with our two voices together, sometimes appears a third voice, and sometimes we say, "Oh, here's the third," and then you hear another note somewhere, and it's like magic.
Yeah, in the early Christian church, apparently that was called jubilant mm-hmm. singing, because if you were pitched perfectly, it almost sounded like the angels were singing along. It's just overtones. I mean, we know the science of it, but knowing the science doesn't make the feeling less real.
Yeah.
Have you recorded any of Hildegard's?
Yeah, one. The Nunc Aperuit Nobis.
Thank you.
this performance that we're about to hear from the two of you of, let's do Esta Montaña d'Enfrente first, because this is, if you didn't grow up with, at least it's not foreign, right? Because this is folk music from southern Spain.
Mm-hmm. So this particular song, it's a song from the Sephardic community. And we found it in a... So we've been very interested in the Sephardic music, which is the songs that the Jewish in the Iberian Peninsula, they sang, and then they were expelled from there. So they moved this music from Spain to Greece and Turkey, where they could establish their communities. So it has been kept by these people, but it's in a language which is very close to Spanish. But
Ladino,
It's Ladino, So it feels so close, but it feels so old at the same time. You know when you wanna eat a very good meal?
Always.
Then this is what happened with that melody. We were like, I just want to eat this melody.
And how did you... Well, let's hear it, and then I'd like to find out how you work out the arrangements and all that kind of stuff. We're listening to some music from Tarta Relena and speaking with both Marta and Elena here in Knoxville at the Big Ears Festival. Let's hear this live performance of Esta Montaña d'Enfrente, which means... This
mountain in front of me.
Live performance from Tarta Relena.
Esta montaña de enfrente se asciende y va quemando. Sento y voy orando, árbol y colen me nexé, yo lo ensembré en mi huerta, yo lo crecí. Otros están gozando secretos que
That's Esta Montaña d'Enfrente, live performance from Tarta Relena here in Knoxville for the Big Ears Festival. And so, Elena, so you said you loved this melody, you just wanted to eat it up. So how do you and Marta distribute the vocal parts? Is it just naturally that Marta gets the lower and you get higher, or how does that work?
So we know the tricks that work for us the best, right? So we want to take out our best sound. So I usually take the higher notes and Marta usually takes the lower notes, but we sometimes are interested in the opposite effect. So sometimes I sing the lower parts because it just gives another sound combination. So it's also interesting. And what we try to do with the vocal arrangements is that we try to find two melodies that work independently. So So the melody that Marta is singing is just as alive as the melody that I sing. And sometimes what we like to do as well is to cross our notes. So sometimes then Marta goes up and then I go down. And you don't really notice what's going on in there. So it's just like two fishes in the water that they're swimming together and they just, they flow.
So it's not just the voices, though, because at some point, Marta, the two voices, that wasn't enough. You began to weave in electronics and beats and processing of the voices. What was that decision? How did you make that decision?
I think it was preparing a live session that we found that maybe for the attention of the audience, it would be nice to put some other ingredient. And also because we were singing in places where this wasn't so usual to listen to a cappella music, because these were like more
underground
venues or something like this. So we started with some samples in a Cork sample, and later on we tried with Ableton doing some beats, and this worked for us because there were like two layers super different, like the organic ones and the synthetic ones.
When you perform these songs live, do you have to recreate what you did in the studio, or is the live thing a different experience?
Yeah, for us, the live experience, it doesn't have to do anything with the album and with the recording. We like to think about it as two separate things. What happens in the studio is the studio, and you can get to very interesting results, but it doesn't mean that they will work live. So when we are doing things live, we focus more on, like energy managing what happens in the, what happens in your body, because of course you have to do everything from the beginning to the end. So how you build up this energy and which pieces you're starting with, it's very meaningful. And also how you end up the concert, how warm your voice is, how flexible it has become during the show, and it all these elements they play a role in how we like to sing the music live.
Yeah, you also and I mentioned this before that you draw from a wide variety of music now, much of it, not all of it, but much of it by women. So the last album, Fiat Lux. Mm-hmm. Begins with one of those, there's a body of Afghan women's poetry that is just for women. Mm-hmm. And you do one of those songs.
Was from a book with the same name of as the song has.
Which is El...
El Suicidi y el Cant.
What does that mean?
The suicide and the singing.
Yeah. There's one or two other musicians out there who've set some of these poems, which is how I knew about them. And they're really deep. I mean, the texts are just so moving and poignant, you know, when you know what the situation is of the women who wrote them.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. These are super powerful words and also super powerful images, like very poetic and very understandable and very simple and clear. And it's heavy how this can be the only way of saying these words there. It's crazy.
Yeah. You've done a lot, Elena, you've done a lot of music from around the Mediterranean, the Golden Horn of Greece and Turkey with the Sephardic stuff. Many of the songs on the last record are sung in Catalan, but there are two in Greek and two in Latin. Mm-hmm. So again, this very Mediterranean aspect. Is that intentional? Are you just looking at that area of the world?
Yeah, we usually like to evoke this because it gives us... So every language we sing in, it's one more tool or one more color to give, a sensation or to bring up an emotion. So for example, for us, singing in Latin has a special weight or a special transcendence that we can't achieve singing in Spanish this time. I don't know.
Yeah.
So it's a little, it's a tool that we use to bring out the character of the music we sing in. And especially we've connected more with Mediterranean languages and melodies and stuff. But I don't know, for example, we also do a Georgian song.
Yeah.
So I don't know. And an Afghan poetry inspired.
That's true.
Thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of the center or where we go to get out the material. But, you know, it's not like a limit.
Right.
We can go. I mean, who knows?
The Mediterranean tradition includes a number of very unusual specific traditions, like in Corsica and Sardinia, mm-hmm. where the polyphony is unlike anything else. I mean, Georgian singing is strange, but, you know, that's like now you're getting into the border of Europe and Asia. Mm-hmm. These islands are, you know, one's part of France, one's part of Italy. They sound nothing like French music. They sound nothing like Italian music. What was it like to, you know, start singing that music, the Corsican song that we're going to hear next?
Well, it's that this is the super interesting thing about islands, that they sometimes have a cultural hermeticity.
Yeah, they're very hermetic and sealed off.
Yeah. This happens in Mallorca too. That in a sudden you have like music super Mediterranean, but super strange also, and with the Corsican polyphony, we loved how the folkloric and the Catholic is mixed there, and how this polyphony is just the two traditions that we usually consider separate.
Yeah. Mm. The song is called Totopulcra es Maria. Mm-hmm. It is, you can tell just from the title, it's from the sacred Catholic tradition. But it's also, you know, as Marta was saying, Elena, it's this mix. And a lot of the Corsican singers, there's a very specific sound, you mm-hmm. know, a kind of pinched throat sound. So mm-hmm. are you doing that?
I think we were doing more in... We were trying to do this more in the beginning when we were trying this song out, like more of a chest sound and more direct and almost hurting sound. Mm. And then with the time, you know, it went a bit more to sweet and soft and charming and calming sound. I don't know.
All right, well, let's hear what the song sounds like these days. Another live performance here in Knoxville at the Big Ears Festival. From Tarta Relena.
Tota pulcra est Maria. Tota pulcra est Maria. Immaculata originalis.
Tota Pulchra Es Maria is the name of that song, sung live here in our studio by the members, not in our studio, it's my hotel room here in makeshift studio in Knoxville for the Big Ears Festival, Tartarelena, based in Barcelona. Marta, where does the name come from, Tartarelena?
Oh, thank you for asking. This is just a game that we did when we were super kids. that this is my name, Marta, with my initial from the surname,
right.
Torrella, Tarta, and Elena with her R from Ros, Relena. And the funny thing is that in Spanish it almost means like, how was this?
Stuffed
pie. So it's kind of funny, but well, it's simple.
Okay. So who does the electronics when you're doing those sorts of arrangements, the production and the processing? Is that the two of you, or do you have a team that you work with?
In the production of the albums, we have worked with other producers, with usually friends of us. Mm-hmm. But later we like to do the concert only the two of us,
right.
So we don't have more energies on the stage.
There's a track on the album Fiat Lux called Relatable Content,
yeah.
Which stands out, A, because an English title, knew what it meant immediately, and B, your voices are in there, kind of, sort of, but it's mostly an electronic soundscape, it seems. Where does that come from?
So that was Marta's idea, actually, and she produced the song herself, and she was, I think your idea was to pick up all the little sounds and little parts that were discarded from the process of the recording. And there were like some giggles and some sound effects and some vocal effects that were left out, but they were very loved by us because we had so much fun, and they made us laugh, or at some point we just found them super interesting, so she decided to put them together. Yeah, this is a cool experiment to do, and I don't know, maybe you want to add something else to...
No, only the relatable content was a title that we wanted to put to the album, but later it was like, no, this cannot be in English. And also this way, like a linguistic game, because in Catalan you can say relatable content, which means a kind of relatable happiness, It's kind of yeah.
So not content, but content.
Yeah.
Got it. There's another track I wanted to ask you about, and that is Sappho. Because on your Bandcamp page, you give the lyrics. Are these by Sappho? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And there are a couple of places where the lyrics are missing. How do you approach a text when it's incomplete like that?
In this case, well, the majority of Sappho's poems are like this, like, you have some parts or the half of the verse, so the part of the magic of this is also the missing part, because you can understand but also you don't know what's this meaning or not. It's like super intriguing. So this was funny for us, and also because we were super attracted to all this mystical and mysterious thing about this poetry, and also about the edition we had that was super beautiful and with the translations and with the missing parts super clear there.
So the album has now been out for
year and a half.
Yeah, have you started work on the next one?
Yes, we are very looking forward to the next process, and you know, entering to this phase of becoming creative again and generating new material. And now, when we come back from the States, we're gonna mainly focus on that.
All right. Well, Marta, Elena, it's been a real pleasure meeting the two of you here in Knoxville at the Big Ears Festival. Thank you so much for dropping by and talking with us and performing for us.
Thank you for your time. Thank you.
Tarta Relena's most recent album is Fiat Lux. My thanks to Marta Torreya and Elena Ross, and to technical director Irene Trudell, who sweetened the sound of the performances so they didn't sound like the hotel room they were recorded in. Eric Weber is our video editor, here working with my little cell phone videos. Karen Havlick is our producer. I'm John Schaefer. You can watch our videos on the New Sounds YouTube channel and subscribe to our free weekly newsletter by texting New Sounds to 70101.